I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May His grace and peace, mercy be upon each and every one. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before You this morning and we thank You for Your goodness and for Your mercy. We thank You, Father, for Your Spirit that is calling men unto Yourself. We pray that You'd help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see. Lord, again, we thank You for all that You do for us. Fill us with Your Spirit. Lord, give us words to speak from above. Again, we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. Verse 14. Begin reading here. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this. I want to point out here, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this. This book of Revelation is the revelation of Christ. And that's, you know, we look at the book of Revelation and sometimes we think about the prophecies or the great calamities that are going to come upon the world, or some of the wild things that we imagine or we might read. But the revelation is to reveal Christ to us. That's what the whole Bible is about. The one place the Bible talks about the prophets, some of the disciples that were walking with Jesus, and He began in the beginning and He showed them Christ through the Bible. And the message of the Bible is not about how to establish a religion. It's not about how to do everything perfect. It's to get our attention so that we can hear Him who speaks from above. You know, a lot of people say what the Bible, you know, what is the Bible about? And the modern idea, the first thought is love, God's love. It's from the beginning to the end. And while we can see that, that's not the message of the Bible. The message of the Bible is to reveal Christ to mankind. That's the message. The message of the Bible is to man that man needs to turn his eyes and his ears to God. That man needs to repent. You know, we use that word repent, that somebody's doing wrong, oh, they need to repent. It's much, much more than that. There's people that don't do anything wrong in our eyes that don't hear God. And the message that God is trying to give to mankind is that man needs to hear what God has to say. And it's much deeper than just strict religion. It's much deeper than just doing everything correctly. It's actually hearing God. And that's what the book of Revelation is about. The faithful and true witness. In the book of 1 John, it talks about how that God was revealed. He came and dwelled among us. And this is the message that we've heard, that He came and dwelled among us. And that's what we need to listen to today. There's a parallel universe as it was, that we see everything out here. We see the flesh. We see everything around us. We see buildings. We see trees. We see everything around us. But God sees there's a spiritual world. You know, we went to a funeral this week, and just trying to keep track after I had to do some things right after the funeral. And so I called to see if they were at the graveyard yet. And they said, not a soul's here. Can't see a soul in sight. And we talked about and kind of laughed at that for a minute. That here at the graveyard, not a soul in sight. You know, we don't see souls. We see bodies. And so, really, we couldn't see anybody in sight. But do we see souls? Whenever, you know, the human being, we live in a body. The human being is a soul that lives in a body. But how often is that what we see? Is that what we really see whenever we look at people? We see the body. We see all the things that are going on all around us. But do we see the soul? That's what God sees. That's what eternity is going to reveal, that all of this other stuff is just outward. It's just stuff that we can see, stuff that will perish. But the soul is what's going to live forever. And whenever we deal with each other and we deal with people and as a church and as we look at the world, do we see souls or do we see bodies? Do we see the heart of what God wants us to do? Are we building our souls, or is it all about the outside? Is it all about what we see and do and can accomplish and acquire? Or are we building our souls? The soul's hard to see. There's so much going on around us that it just gets drowned out. The real gets drowned out. We jump to conclusions. We see and we make decisions about something on the outside or the first image or the first thought we have. And so we just write it all off. But what is the soul of the thing? And do we take the time to see the soul in things? And that's what matters. That's why the Bible warns us about so many things that distract us. You see, we've got this cut and dried image of sin. That's sin. Boom. I can't have any fellowship with you. That's sin. Bang. And so we can see this outward idea of sin and not sin. But sin is things that distract us from seeing the soul of things. Sin is what separates us from God. We in the flesh, in the image of what we see, we always just see that we see it cut and dried. He's a sinner, he's not a sinner. But that's not what God sees. God sees the soul of man. And He sees sin as something dangerous that's going to separate us from, that distracts us. And that doesn't have to be big, ugly sin like we think about that distracts us. There's a lot of good things that distracts us from God, that keeps us from Him, keeps us from seeing the soul of things. Religion keeps us from seeing the soul of the matter. Let's go ahead and read here. I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. I will The King James says, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. This is Jesus talking to us. I wish that you were either hot or wish you were cold. But because you're lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's a pretty serious thought to think about this morning. And you know, there's people that hear this and they get all excited and they just really get zealous. I'm going to really get zealous and follow the Lord. And they get, some people just start punishing themselves. Some people put really strict conditions upon themselves that I'm going to really be hot for the Lord. Is that what he's trying to do whenever he's trying to tell us this? Be hot or cold? That means that I need to get really, really hard on myself. That's why we see all through history people that punish themselves. People that make things so much harder on themselves because they're trying to beat down the flesh. They put extra rules on themselves. And then there's some people that just don't even care. But both of those are missing the point. Hot or cold? I read this, heard this message preached one time whenever I was just a young man. And I had grew up in a church and had tried to really be a Christian. Oh, just really, really, I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to be the best Christian I can be. But there was times that I wasn't. And I knew it. And I loved the world and I wanted it. And I went after it to a certain extent. But then I'd feel bad. And so then I'd go running right after being the best Christian I can be again. And I'd be hot for a while. And then after a while, I'd kind of cool off and I'd start drifting again. Because I was trying to create something that wasn't there. That's hot and cold. It's striving to do what's real. And then you cool off a little while and you kind of get drifting. And then pretty soon you do something and then you feel real guilty and boom, right back. I'm going to do better this time. That's what lukewarm is. It's simply trying to deal with what we see on the outside of things instead of trusting in the Lord. What we see... is just as entangling in religion as it is in the world. Instead of just trusting in the Lord. I saw this whenever I was a young man. I remember I was about 18 years old and a preacher preached about this. And I had tried, been hot and I'd been cold and I'd been hot and I'd been cold. I even remember this even showed up. I dealt closely with my banker from whenever I was a young man. And you could see my financial progress going up and down and up and down. And a lot of it related about whenever I was hot, I really didn't care. Whenever I was cold, my finances changed. It just went up and down and up and down, up until. And whenever I got to this, a preacher preached about this, about being hot or cold. And I was sitting in church and I thought, I am a hypocrite. I am a hypocrite. I thought he was talking right to me. And I'd tried everything I knew to do in church. I'd been up to the front and I'd asked Jesus to save me and cleanse me and do all kinds of things. But I just went right back. Same old hot and cold, hot and cold. And I thought, I've tried everything. Everything that I knew to do. But I saw the Bible had so much more. But I saw all around me and I, there's nothing here. There's nothing here. Because my vision was about super religion or not. And there was nothing there. There was nothing there. And I just decided, there's nothing here. And I gave up. And I just went out into the world. Did what I wanted to do. Sought everything that I could get a hold of in this world to try to give my life substance out of things that I could see and feel and touch. Some people do that with religion. They just get as religious as they can so they can see and feel and touch this. But it's just as phony as all the riches that I had tried to obtain and get in my life. But it was hot or cold. Hot or cold. What I didn't realize was that there is another whole level. And it's what's really real. It's what is really real in life. See, there's parallels that run alongside all of this. But then you just see, as I began to, I just went into the world and I began to really search out, see what all of this was about. I began to see that religion, non-religion, were all just running on the same path. They were all just running together, just looking at each other, saying, I don't want what you have, and the other bunch saying, oh, look at them poor sinners. But they're running on the same path. Jesus came into the world to reveal himself to mankind. He didn't run off out here in the super religious, nor did he go after the world. He just lived his life right in the middle of it all and trusted in the Lord. And was faithful to the Lord. He wasn't hot. He wasn't cold. He was, this battle back and forth. He was for the Lord. It didn't come out lukewarm. He just did what was right. He followed the Lord. I felt that way. And I just gave up. And given up, I just went into the world. I didn't try to be hot and cold anymore. I just, this is what I am. This is what I'll be. But I began to realize that there's more to life than this. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Lose his own soul. What does that mean? What's their profit if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? See, there's that soul again that we can't see with our eyes. We can't hear with our ears, but it's there. I begin to realize that everything that I was chasing after when I was trying to be super religious, and everything that I was chasing after when I was trying to gain everything the world had to offer was not my soul. Was not the soul. It's the same old thing. But whenever I began to read the Bible, and I knew what I had my heart set on, I knew that what this world was offering, I had it. But whenever I began to read what Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I began to see there was something there in the soul. And today we look at things all around us, and it's hard to see sometimes. But there's a soul. There's a soul in all of it. Underneath, most people, it just passes by so fast, or there's life so full of other things that it chokes out the soul. The Bible, Jesus talked about it, said that, you know, the seed that he brings, some falls by the wayside. The birds come along and eat it up. He's spreading his message. He's trying to get our attention. His revelation is trying to get to the heart of man. And he gives us a little seed here and there. And it falls on hard ground. The birds come and eat it. And then some seed falls on good ground. And it's there and it starts to grow. Wait a minute, I hear this. And then it says the weeds begin to grow up and they begin to choke it. And they begin to kill it. And it says the riches and the cares of this world begin to choke it out. They're beginning to choke out this revelation that he's trying to give to us. This spiritual thing that he's trying to show us. And it begins to get choked out. That's the danger. That's what he's trying to warn us about. We live in a time where we can have whatever we want. Anytime we want it. You know what it does? It chokes. And we forget. And we soon don't see the soul anymore. We just see around us. We begin to see religion. We begin to see church. We begin to see all kinds of good things. But we miss the soul. Because it's choked out. He's talking about riches. Same thing. The more we get, the more we want. The more we get, the more we want. We have a problem, we just fix it. And we miss the soul. It chokes it out. And we begin to drown. We don't even know it because we're dying. And we're choking. Either with the things of this world or the religious things of this world. Verse 17, it says, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. What a day. What a day. On the judgment day, when we stand before the Lord and we think that we have it all fixed up, we think that we've got it all under control, we think we've got it all figured out, we think that we've got it going, and he says, You're blind. You're wretched. You're miserable. You're poor. And you're naked. We didn't see the soul. We saw all the trappings around it. We saw all the flesh. We saw all the things around it that looked good. But we didn't see the soul. Actually, we were blind. We were naked and we were miserable. He's talking to the church here. The church of Laodicea. They thought they had it going on. And he said, you don't have nothing. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich. Or white garments so that you may clothe yourself and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. And eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. He gave this advice to the church that thought they had it going on. You don't have nothing. Buy from me gold that's tried by the fire. You know how you get gold tried by the fire? You know what it means to try gold in fire? That means I'm going to put the heat on. I'm going to put the heat on. And I'm going to boil away all the dross that's in your life. You see, these people thought they had it. They thought they were clothed in righteousness. They thought they were spiritual and could see. They thought that they have need of nothing. We have it all figured out. But Jesus said you had nothing. Let me give you some gold. You know what it takes to get gold? That means He's going to put you through the fire and burn away everything that you thought was good. He's going to put you through the fire and burn away everything that you think is good. Are you ready for that? Do you want that? Or do you want the stuff that you can hang on to? Do you want the stuff that you can see? The stuff that you can feel? Or do you want what He has to offer? He offers a fire that'll leave you with something that will last forever. We try to avoid all that stuff. See, that's the difference between the soul and what we see. We try to hang on what we see so bad. And we don't see the soul. When you see the soul, none of that matters. What we see, what we've accomplished, our reputations, what we think we are, what other people think we are, doesn't matter at all. I advise you to buy from me gold. Here is the Lord saying, I want to give you a bit of advice. Buy gold from me. You know, there's people that talk about having gold, that we're going to go to all the nations and all the money's going to collapse, and one of these days the only thing of value is going to be gold. They use the book of Revelations and they explain that we'll all have one world money, and the only thing that'll be have any value at all will be gold. And so religion And a lot of people deduct from this that, you know, we use this book to deduct it. We need to buy real gold because that's solid, that's real. But that's exactly opposite of what he's trying to tell us. He's trying to say buy real gold, not the stuff you can hold in your hand that's so precious to the world. We read the book of Revelations and we try to find out a way to preserve ourselves from what's happening or what's going to happen. And he's saying, buy gold from me. Buy gold from me. He'll have to strip away a lot of things from us if we want gold from him. We can't have two masters. We can't serve two masters. We'll either love one or we'll love the other. We can't love the world, the things that are in the world, and still hold on to him. They drowned it out. They cover it up. And we don't see what's real. I advise you, buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white raiment, white garments so that you may clothe yourselves, and the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. Verse 20, I've said this before. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. We have a picture of Jesus knocking on the door of a sinner's heart. And just, they use this to just invite Jesus into your heart. Jesus is standing and knocking. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking to the church. He's on the outside of the church, standing on the outside of the church, knocking on the door and saying, I'm knocking. Here I am. If anyone hears my voice, if anyone will hear my voice, him who speaks from above, him who came to reveal himself to us, that's where righteousness is. That's where clothing ourselves in garments is, hearing him. All the other is just dressing on the outside. But we've got to be quiet enough to hear him. We've got to let go of enough to hear him. We try to make ourselves more religious. Most religious people do. They try to fix things. When all he wants us to do is shut up and listen. One of the biggest things we try to, whenever we try to help someone, one of the first things we try to get people to do is just be faithful in what is with what is right in front of you. But I want to do something. I want to feel something. I want to know something. Give me some answers. I may not have answers. We may not have answers for you for a while. Just be faithful for a while. You see, God doesn't move like we move today in this world. God doesn't own a microwave machine. God doesn't fly in a jet. His pace is a lot slower. We want answers right now. And most people looking for answers, Go find one right now. They jump out there and the first charlatan that comes along selling something, they buy it. God doesn't move that way. Problems in churches. You don't fix them immediately. You work through them patiently. It takes time to take care of things. You don't mature in a microwave. You mature by age and time and patience, long suffering. But so many people want an answer right now, and they will find one, and it will be the wrong one. It will be the wrong one, no matter how right it may sound. If you're jumping, you're jumping right in the fire. The revelation, it will be revealed. Things will be revealed. They will come out. But it takes time. But we don't have enough time to be patient, to wait. We want it right now. I don't know how many young men have come here looking for help. And we've just told them, you just learn to be a young man first. And something will come up. The Lord will show us. A lot of times what the Lord shows us when somebody comes for help is not an answer of what they need to be doing, but simply an answer of what they shouldn't be doing at the moment. And that's running and searching and looking instead of waiting and watching. That's what the Lord tells us to do, to wait and to watch. And we're running and looking and searching and digging and hunting and finding. You will find something. And you will think you've got the answers. But it will be wretched and naked and blind in the end. The Lord, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. I reprove and discipline. How many of you like that? How many of you like just being set aside for a while? You just sit over there, and you know, whenever we put a child in the corner or whatever they do, you just sit down and be still for a while. How many of them like that? They don't. But sometimes that's what the Lord does to us. You just sit over there and be still for a while. But that's not religious. That's not holy sounding. That's not moving great mountains. That's not having an appearance of godliness to everyone around me. That's just sitting quiet. But that's where you hear the Lord. That's where you hear the still, small voice. It's not in the earthquakes. It's not in the whirlwind. It's not in the fire. It's in the nothing that we hear the Lord. See, all that's all around us. It's all around us. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. There's a lot of things to hear in the world. There's a lot of things to hear in religion. There's a lot of things to hear in churches. But he that has ears to hear, him is who will overcome. There's a lot of flash, a lot of commotion. People go running after it. It sells. I told a lady one time she needed some help. And we helped her. Got her house, got her fixed up, got her needs met. Somebody come along and had a healing seminar. I said, are these people in this seminar, are they going to provide a house for you? Are they going to just take care of you? Are they going to look out for you? No. They're going to charge you to come to their meeting, take up an offering, and then try to sell you a big program for $395 that you can make payments on to get the second blessing. What are you hearing? Well, there's not enough excitement. There's no commotion. There's no healing meeting going on here. The problem is most of us didn't pick up our baggage in one meeting. We didn't bring in all the garbage that we've obtained. The whole world of our life, our whole life, the garbage that we've picked up along the way, we didn't pick it up. All in one meeting, in one big flash bang. It came a little at a time. And that's how healing will come too. A little at a time. But it's there for those who have the ears to hear and the eyes to see. There's a parallel universe. There's religion. There's the world. All piled up in a big noisy commotion. And then there's the voice of Jesus speaking. Standing outside of the church even. Knocking on the door. Saying, who will hear my voice? Look what happened. All through history it's that way. God trying to reach, and he just hear one, hear a few, here's there's a few, here and there, all through the Bible. When Jesus came, the religious world all around him, they didn't know who he was, except for a few. A few stragglers, a few misfits. I told someone last week, you know, our little group's just a group of misfits, basically. Just a little group of people with problems. Just a group of misfits that's just trying to hear the Lord. But that's all that the church has ever been. Just a group of outcasts. Didn't kind of out of step with everyone else. Just trying to hear the Lord. Trying to learn to love each other. And to work with each other. Just trying to let the Lord purge us of the things that we need purged of. If we'll just let go of it. I tried to reason with the Lord whenever I was going to follow Him. Tried to reason with the Lord. I can just do this. I can do all that. He said, I don't want that. I had to let go. I had to let go. That's when I heard his voice, when he just said, let go. But I'll fall. What'll I do? How can I just let go? That's all he wants. Because until we give him everything, we have nothing. The Bible says that all of this will be destroyed. We think of the world. religion's going to be the same way. It's all going to be destroyed. Only what we've lost will we gain. And everything that we've tried to gain, we'll lose. We'll lose. Whatever you're trying to keep, whatever you're trying to hang on to, whatever you're trying to build, there's nothing there. It's what you lose. It's what you give up. That's where you'll gain. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You know, there's not a lot of real plain, simple teachings in this. It's about hearing. And it's about a lot of things that keep us from hearing. A lot of things that drown us and choke us. And keep us from hearing. Things get so mixed up. So messed up. And it takes a while to fix them. But we've got to be willing just to get quiet. I remember one time, whenever I was a young man, just been married a little while, going after the world 100 miles an hour. And I remember just one day just going into a room and just shutting the light off and just sitting there for a while. Just sitting there for a while. Just quiet. Everything going on around, all over. Just shut the light off and quiet. Sounds pretty crazy. I didn't hear any great voices. I didn't hear nothing. But I think that had a big impact on my life. Wasn't no lightning flash, no boom, nothing. Didn't hear nothing that I could really recognize, but just quiet. Just taking time to think, what is this all about? Just quiet. Just kind of opens the door to, before we make decisions, before we do anything, it's just get quiet. We do a lot of talking. We do a lot of explaining. We got a lot of figuring out. We know a lot. We got books. We got computers. We got everything. We know so much. We can explain everything. But we can't hear nothing. Because we're trying to know everything. Trying to teach everything. And we're not hearing what's important. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. O Lord, add his blessings.
Father.